We certainly want to welcome each of you to the worship this morning. We're thankful that God granted us another day. Do you realize that that's all we have? One of my favorite thoughts comes from the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where the Lord tells us, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you know that we have enough to deal with for today? So let's just have today. And this day, this time is set aside that we might come and we might worship the great God of heaven. And I'm thankful to these few brothers and sisters who have come this morning to help facilitate the service here, that we might bring you a message from the Word of God. We want to remember Brother Gary and his family as he is traveling. He's away from the city, I understand, today. And I have the opportunity to stand in his stead. My name is Ray Wilkerson, as been said. I'm the assistant to Brother Gary here. And we're going to continue what I call the 365-day journey through the Bible. Are you journeying with us? I'll give you a title that I've selected as a subtitle for this, but we've been having a wonderful time. Well, there it is. The temptation of Jesus and the superiority of Jesus. That's what we're going to see. We've been journeying 365 days through the Bible, and we started at the beginning of the year, and we have already now moved into the New Testament as we're wrapping up our journey through the Bible. And this is an excellent, excellent read through the Bible because we're doing it chronologically in the order of occurrence. So even if you have not yet signed on to start reading through the Bible, this will be good just to go through the New Testament in chronological order. I just looked at our page on Facebook last night for the Read Through the Bible program, and we had 28 new additions again this week. So, or last week, 28 new additions this week, 27 the week before. So it's great to continue to add people to journey 365 days through the Bible. So our lesson text for this morning actually comes from Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapters 4 and 5, and John chapter 1, verses 15 through 51. And obviously, I can't cover all that unless we do like Nehemiah, Ezra in the book of Nehemiah, and the people came and they stood from morning till noon for the reading of the Word of God. Okay, all right. We don't have audience participation on that part. Matthew chapter 4 then. Meet with us in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In this section of the scripture, then was Jesus led. You remember in chapter 3 that Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan. And they saw the Holy Spirit as a dove descending and lighting upon Jesus. And John recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Matthew 4 verse number 1 is coming after the baptism of Christ. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. As members of the family of God, we count it a great joy when God gives us a new brother, a new sister in the body of Jesus Christ. We've had several people who have been added during the time of the COVID and the quarantine and all of those things that we're having, the social unrest. Folk are looking for Jesus in their lives. Excuse me. But I tell you, just because you have now become a member of the family of God, it does not mean that you will not have problems. One sister told me, it's like, Brother Wilkerson, I'm going to tell you something. Seemed like I was having fewer problems before I obeyed the gospel than after I obeyed the gospel. Well, the devil is not happy, and neither are his fallen angels. Are they happy when you become a member of the family of God? And God did not promise us that it was going to be easy once we obeyed the gospel of Christ. But he did tell us that eternal life is a part of the process that brings us to one eternal day with God. Jesus, even the Son of God himself, led up of the Spirit, and he's into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered." Can you imagine not eating 40 days, not drinking 40 days, not eating or drinking 40 days and 40 nights? I know some of us have a hard time going a few hours without having a meal. We've gotten to the point now, not only do we have 3 meals a day, we have 3 or 4 snacks in between the meals to tide us over till we get to the meal. So we've got sometimes 7 or 8 meals in one day. And can you imagine being fasting 40 days and 40 nights? Your strength would have waned a bit. You would not be as strong as you ordinarily would have been. And that's when the devil came. One of the things that we can recognize in life is that the devil is not going to attack you. His hosts will not attack you. Those demons are not going to attack you in your area of strength. They will come to you in your area of weakness. And brother, sister, listen, all of us ought to be aware of what our own weaknesses are, because that gives us an opportunity now to recognize when our spirit is under attack by demonic forces. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, and the tempter came. But the tempter is going to come. The temptations are going to come. I'm not talking about the soul song group now. They will come in areas that we ought to be able to recognize. The Bible reminds us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, the same way Jesus told the devil, how we ought to respond to the devil. We ought to respond to the tempters. We ought to respond to the temptations. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, after the tempter came and he appealed to him in verse number 3, notice how he came. He says, "If thou be the Son of God." He's going at his pride now. Yeah. You know, all of us have egos around here. I mean, even the most humble among us, we have egos. And we are challenged sometimes in our manhood, or if you are a woman, in your womanhood, our strength. We are challenged. And here he came and he's attacking Jesus in the ego. He's saying, "If thou be the Son of God." I know you're hungry. I know you want something to eat. But if you're the Son of God, command these stones that they be turned into bread. And Jesus tells him what our answer ought to be when we face the trials and we face the temptations of life. He says, "Man, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Amen. Jesus told the devil, "Listen, I am hungry." That is, you might be attacking me in my pride, and I have some physical need. I am hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. But man is to live by every word of God. Amen. The word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's what we need. And that's why I continue to encourage people, journey with us 365 days through the word of God. Journey with us that we might have the word of God. Not what somebody says about it, not what somebody thinks about it, but what thus saith the Lord. I've been on the campaign here for the last few weeks, and I've been telling you that we're not in an area where we accept personal hermeneutics. Not what does it mean to me as an individual. That is not the way that we handle the word of God. It is what does the word of God say, and what does the word of God mean, irregardless of how I think about it. Can we let God be God? God is God all by himself. You remember in the book of Job, Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse number 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Did you get that? Job said, listen, if it came down to it where I had to choose between food and the word of God, Job is showing us that he would choose the word of God. Would we choose the word over God over our necessary, over those things that are necessary to our bodies, food and clothing and someplace to live? Would we choose the word of God? Job esteemed it, and Jesus is telling us that we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So certainly, since Jesus has given him this answer, you would expect that the devil would leave, right? Notice in verse number 5, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. The devil doesn't get discouraged just because we say no one time. We might need to be sure that we pack a whole bunch of no's in our pocket, because we're going to be tempted over and over and over again. How many times? You know how often we are tempted, and it's not just of the devil. We are tempted of ourselves. We are sinful men, sinful women, and our ego gets in the way over and over again, even in our personal life, in our personal precepts, in our personal relationships. It's all about me. It's all about ego. And here the devil takes him up, and he's giving him a choice. And that's my point. We will meet eternity in the choices that we make. And we will have choices, multiple choices, every single day of the life that we live. And the question is, will we align our choice with God's choice? Devil takes him up into a high pinnacle of the temple. And he says again in verse number 6, if thou be the Son of God. Okay, who are you? Are you the Son of God or are you not? Show me. And we know sometimes we try to get people straight and let them know who we are. I remember a sister years ago, she had a job in a house where she was taking care of a lady. And she happened to be of one ethnic persuasion. And the lady that she was caring for was of another ethnic persuasion. And the lady came to her in a manner that this sister deemed inappropriate. She was wanting to have her do something, but the sister was not happy in the way that she asked her to do it. And then she had to let her know what her name was. She gave herself a whole new name. I call it I ain't the. She said, I ain't the. I ain't the one. You don't come at me like, I ain't the one. And some of us, our egos, we get in the way. I ain't the one. You don't talk to me like that. You don't treat me like that. You don't come to me like that. I ain't the one. No, no, no. Jesus shows us how we respond to the devil. Are you the Son of God or not? What do you have to prove to somebody? If we are confident in ourselves, if we are confident in our God, then we don't have to try to prove anything to anybody about who we are. Amen. He comes and he says, again, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Now, this is where you get into a lot of discussion now, because we got the devil now quoting scripture. He comes and he's telling Jesus, well, now, what the word of God says is that he has given his angels charge concerning thee, lest, and they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. In verse number 7 again, Jesus comes back at him again with the word of God. We need to make sure that we have an understanding of the word of God. There are people and demonic host that will pervert the usage of the word of God, so we need to know it for ourselves. Jesus in verse number 7 says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So now we have all of these things, all of these dynamics in place. But the devil keeps coming to Jesus, and he keeps appealing to Jesus, and he keeps trying to get him to fall for his deceptions. That is the power of the devil. The power of the devil is deception. And listen, let's not assist the devil in deceiving ourselves. Let's turn our introspection, that is, turn our same level of critical analysis from other folk and put it on ourselves, because we need to know what our weaknesses are if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil and not fall for them. We want to stand with and for the word of God. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 8, you got like, Brother Wilkinson, you're just going down the scripture in the book of Matthew. I was like, well, is that okay? Is that in the book? Look at verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an high, exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse number 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Look, Jesus, I will give you all of the kingdoms of this world if you will fall down and worship me. And somebody said, now the devil was lying here anyway because he couldn't give Jesus. Do you think Jesus would know whether or not the devil was lying? That's not even the point. The point is that the offer was made. I'm going to give this to you. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. Listen, you know you want to rule over all of the kingdoms of the world. The devil knows that Jesus came to be victorious and to set up a kingdom that all nations would flow in unto him. The devil knows this. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you the easy way out. Got to be careful, brother. Got to be careful, sister, about the easy way out. And I tell you, sometimes we just want to go the easy way out. It's hard to stand up and to resist people. It's hard to stand up and make a decision and to give people honest information when they don't want to receive it. And we as members of the family of God ought to always be ready to receive open and honest understanding of the word of God. Notice, the Bible says in verse number 10, Matthew chapter 4, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see these times that the devil is coming against Jesus. He's coming at him from a point of weakness where Jesus is weak with hunger. He's coming to him over and over again. Show me who you are. Prove yourself. Show your ego. Stand up and prove to me who you are. And Jesus continues to rely on the word of God. We will have our trials. We will have our temptations. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, leave that up there for a moment. I want this to soak in, because this is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. It's a challenge for all of those that are out there that are tuning in through social media. People, sometimes we get offended when we turn the light of reflection from other folk and put it on ourselves. But listen, this is the mirror of the life, which is the word of God. And the only thing that is in the world in terms of the levels of appeal, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. I've got desires in my body. You've got desires in your body. Jesus had desires in his body. He was hungry. And my neighborhood, we wouldn't have said hungry. He was hungry. Y'all don't know about that. Y'all don't know. He was hungry. And nobody, I can understand. He was hungry. Just make it bread. And it would, no. Man is to follow after God and not the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Oh, we see it. It looks good. We want it. And nobody's looking, we can get it. I'm not necessarily talking about stealing. I'm talking about things that we know that we have not authorized to have. The lust of the eyes. We see it, we like it, we want it, and we go after it. And the pride of life. This is the ego part again. And again, these are the areas that the devil tried to tempt Jesus. And Jesus was up to the task. But oftentimes we stumble. Oftentimes we fall. And now the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. That did not come and does not come from God. The world passeth away in verse number 17. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God. We've got to do God's will. And we will abide forever if we do God's will. Now, he told the devil, look, you're going to have to get away from here in verse number 10. Get thee hence, Satan. So Satan had to leave. Now, in verse number 11, the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, when we resist the devil, and the devil finally goes, here it is, the ministering of the angels come. God, do you believe God helps us? When we overcome self, when we overcome sin, when we overcome temptation, do you believe that God helps us? God strengthens us. And he sent angels to minister to his son. The Bible reminds us in James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. We've got to stand up against the devil and he will flee from you. What I'm saying then is that in correspondence to it, what John has told us, that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And James says, if we resist the devil, when we are appealed through these areas, if we resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee from us. He will leave, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to come back. The Bible tells us in James 4 in verse number 8, draw nigh to God. Get close to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. He says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw nigh, get close to God. Reminds me of these little kids. I just love little kids, little children. I like to play with the little kids all the time, and I tease them a lot. And one thing I notice about little kids, you know, is that if they are a little bit skeptical, they'll hide behind mama, they'll hide behind dad, they'll hold on to the leg of the parent or the family member that is with them, they'll hold on to them. And I see that with us, with God. Draw nigh to God. Get close to God. Get close to God. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. And we are going to have no problem overcoming self and sin and overcoming the devil. The trying time in life is when we allow ourselves to be separated, to become distanced, to become further apart from God. Now, in Luke chapter 4, now I told you that all of these things are working together, and in terms of the chronology. So I'm trying to get a little bit from Luke as well, if I can. So let me interject here, Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14. Usually I ask questions like, is that still in the Bible? In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 14. Now, Jesus has overcome the temptation of the devil. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when we get to verse number 14 of Luke chapter 14, this fits in the chronology of what's going on in Matthew's gospel. It fits in the sequencing of this section of the Word of God. The Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus, remember, had the Spirit without measure, of course. But Jesus was baptized. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And look what he takes when he goes home. He returns in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. When you obey the gospel of Christ, when you are baptized in water for the remission of sins, do you go and tell everybody that you're a member of the family of God? That's what we ought to do. I'm going to tell you, in December of 1975, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I went home, I didn't tell nobody. It's like, no, I don't say that. And then one of the brothers came to pick me up one Sunday to go to worship. And he happened to mention in front of family that I was staying with that, yeah, you know, he's a Christian now. He's a member of the church. It's like, what? You were baptized? Yeah, I was baptized. But don't be a secret disciple, brother. Don't be a secret disciple. Returned, Jesus did, in the Spirit, letting all of the folk know. And there went throughout Galilee and the region about a fame about Jesus. Everybody was hearing about Jesus, who he is and what he was doing. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and when he came to Nazareth, now he's home, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Here we go again. Seek ye out of the book. Read. Let's seek the book. Let's search the scriptures. Let's spend time with the word of God. And Jesus went as his custom was. And he got the book on the Sabbath day to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach, get this, the gospel to the poor. Take the good news of the kingdom of God. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Take the good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel to who? The poor. You don't have to have a 401k to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in what some folk would call the upper class neighborhoods or the burbs in order to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It has anointed me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor. I can't spend enough time on some of these issues as we're going through this chronology here. But is it all right to preach the gospel to poor folk? Is it all right to teach the gospel to the people who are living out in the streets? Amen. Is it all right to preach the gospel to people who have drug addiction problems? Yeah. Is it all right to preach the gospel to people who don't have a suit to put on or a nice quote unquote dress to wear? Is it all right to preach the gospel to the poor? Amen. That's what Jesus did. He took the gospel to the poor. Notice, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Don't you know that there are people out there even today who are brokenhearted? Do they need to hear the word of God? Do we have a word of God to take to the brokenhearted? Not to build myself up. Jesus emptied out himself. He was pouring out his life in order to make it better for the poor, for the brokenhearted. Notice, he has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. That's all of us. We have been captives, slaves to self and sin. And Jesus has now got the gospel of deliverance to be preached to the captives, to the recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Wow, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and he was on his job preaching the good news of the kingdom that is yet to come. Preaching the good news of citizenship is now going to be available to whomsoever will. In Matthew chapter, let me get Luke chapter 4 and verse number 22. I don't want to skip that one. Because now when Jesus is doing all this, you know, folks say, well, I know your people. William, I know your people. I knew you when you was this big. Well, you know, I know your people. And people like, but here's the thing. Be careful that we don't miss what we need to learn by thinking we know what we know. So when they ask the question in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 22, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? You see, they're asking, that's Joseph's son, right? Well, he can't be Messiah's because we know his daddy. We know his mama. We know his peoples. So he can't. Well, see, what they thought they knew, they didn't know. They didn't know that Jesus is the one who had been called out of Egypt. They didn't know he is the one who was born in Bethlehem. They didn't know what they thought they knew. They didn't know. Oh, yeah, this is that Nazareth boy. And, you know, even when he calls his apostles, Nathaniel is going to ask, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah, you know, that's the poor people country. That's the kind of place, we don't deal. What? Is not this Joseph's son? Listen. Don't let somebody look down on you because you are a child of God. If you are a child of God, stand strong as a child of God. Don't let people put any limitations on you. Well, where'd you get your education from? Well, I passed by the school. One gospel preacher, he was preaching, and he had a habit of using incorrect grammar. And I'm pretty good at grammar myself, but it wasn't me, but somebody tried to correct him on his grammar, and they tried to correct him over and over again because, you know, sometimes we get embarrassed when one of our people stand up and we're splitting verbs and our adjectives and our subjects and our objects don't agree and the personal pronoun. We get a little embarrassed. Oh, Lord, folk don't think that we don't know nothing like that, you know. But the brother told the person that was correcting him, he said, well, if you know enough to correct me, you know what I'm talking about. Well. I'm not saying that we should not take time to meet all of the criteria, if we can, of the proper language procession. But don't let that cause you to miss the message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one that is in Nazareth, but he came down from heaven. In verse number 13, Matthew chapter 4, let's get back over there. I'm going to have to try to wrap up some because I got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of stuff as we do this journey through the Bible, and I'll try to match up some. But join us in this 365-day journey through the Bible. In verse number 13, Matthew chapter 4, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zabulon and Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that Jesus is the light that brings the light of the gospel of Christ into the whole world. And the people that sat in great darkness, he's going to offer even an opportunity for the Gentiles and the Jews to be one in the body of Christ, in the family of God. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17, Jesus began to preach. Get it? What did he begin to preach? Repent. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? We got to repent if we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. We got to turn from self and sin. And we have to turn to God if we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Repent, Jesus began to preach. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 19 and 20, you see that he goes and he's starting to build his apostles. He's bringing men in to work with him in the kingdom of God. And Jesus went and he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing all manner of disease. He was healing people and he was preaching and teaching people. In verse number 23, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and 23, I'm dropped down here. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Not only was he preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom, he also went about to help people. Is it all right to help folk? Amen. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble trying to help folk. It depends on whether or not they want to be helped. Or if the little guy, he was in the Boy Scouts, and they'd give him some responsibilities for some things that they needed to do. And one of the things that he was supposed to do was do a good work. And he saw this little lady, and she was waiting at the corner where the light was. And he decided he was going to go and help her go across the street. And when he got back to his troop, the troop leader saw him. He said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "Well, there was a little lady that was waiting on the corner. And, you know, I was trying to take her across the street. And, you know, the light changed and I stepped out and I was taking her across the street and everything." And he said, "Oh, wow, you got hit by the car?" He said, no, I got hit by the lady. She didn't want to go." Some people we offer help to, they don't want the help that we're trying to give them. So we can get beat up pretty badly when you're trying to help people if they don't want to be helped. But maybe there's somebody out there this morning that wants to be helped into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Helped into the kingdom of God. When we help people, we can help people socially. We can help people even politically. We can help people materially. When we help people, notice in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "And great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan, great multitudes followed him." When we help people, when we meet people's needs, where they need to be met, we have an opportunity to bring them into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I still have some verses from John, but I'm going to have to wrap up here. I had to wrap up. Let's see. Can I wrap up? And we encourage you again to join us in our 365-day journey through the Bible. 365-day journey through the Word of God. I'll just give one out of John chapter 1 and verse number 17. Because Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than John Baptist. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is the manifestation of God among us. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 17, "For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You can be a part of the grace and the truth of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew's Gospel in the 28th chapter, in verses 18, get this. I really wish I had time to flesh all of this out so that you could see the picture. But in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, still should be sufficient. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We need to understand that if you're going to be saved, you don't go to some man. You have to come to Jesus. And Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." In verse number 19, "Go ye therefore This is what we have the responsibility to do now. What we have to do, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses can't save you. John can't save you. No other religious leaders can save you. You must come to Christ, and we all come the same way. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. This morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you turn from self and sin, that's what repentance is. If you confess that Jesus is the Christ, then we will baptize you in water for the remission of sins, and will add you to the kingdom that Jesus was preaching that was going to come, because when he says that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, at that point the kingdom has come and you can be a part of it. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make many mistakes. We come through confession, we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If you're subject to the invitation, then certainly we'd ask that you respond. If we can help you, call us at 713-672-2654. Let us know what we can do. We will be glad to serve you, to help you. Jesus went through his temptation, and Jesus is superior to all. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention.